Kennedy Chip fan now with Maya Dunphy. Morning, Maya.
Good morning.
So in the Kellogg's variety pack, the last one, the last man standing, the one no one wanted.
Cornflakes.
Yeah,
basically, the sugary ones go first.
Yeah, I think so too.
I have palpitations when that Stilt Walker.
You really are uncomfortable with him.
It's the fake knees.
He's a nice.
It's the fake knees where his feet are, and it's the fake. Now he's not wearing. Some of them wear giant fake shoes over the metal.
Look at the guy with the ball things.
Oh, and they can catch up with you so quickly. The guy with the ball things is known as a juggler.
Well, he's dropping them and bouncing them up and down, and you see he's dropping five balls at a time.
Yeah, those kids
them.
Look distinctly unimpressed. Oh,
they're very happy. Yeah. Look at that beautiful little child with the curly hair and the pale face. She's sweet. Okay, so where are we? Did you ever feel obliged to return the favour? You know, where maybe your friend invited you over for dinner or drinks one night, and now you feel obliged to do the same thing, even if you maybe don't really want to, or just simply don't have the time. So when somebody comes up and says, "Hi, how's it going? Let's go ahead and do stuff," and you're thinking,
"No,"
and it's not because you don't have the time. Actually,
you
don't really want to.
You can't make your usual faces because people can see you today.
Oh, sorry. Yes, yeah. Cover that. Yeah. Okay.
I know they're all directed at me. Well, this is what we're talking about today is, in posh terms, the rule of reciprocity.
Reciprocity?
Am I saying that right? Yeah,
that is
right, isn't it?
It's a bit excessive for this time of the day.
No, it is. And it's known as returning the favour, but it's reciprocation, which is a social norm. But it's also apparently a very powerful socio-psychological behaviour. Now, we're not going to get that academic about it, but there's a few points that are...
With words like that?
It works on a very simple principle that we feel obligated to do something for people who've done something for us.
Yeah.
In very simple ways, you move to a new house, your neighbour brings a cake over, 3 weeks later they say, "Would you water our garden while we're away?" And you feel like you should. Not because your neighbour's, because of the cake.
It's non-written contract, isn't it?
They bought us the cake. So there was a really interesting study done by the unfortunately named, I have it written down, sociologist Philip Kuntz.
I'd say Coons. I'd say Coons would probably
K-U-N-Z.
Be
better. K-U-N-Z. K-U-N-Z.
What are his family?
Austrian Kuntz.
What are they called as a collective, as a family?
The Kuntzes.
Who's at the door? It's the Kuntzes. No, don't let them in. They never leave.
And anyway, this guy's name is unfortunately Phil as well. Philip. You can Google him. Very famous.
I think a brother called Mike.
He was a famous, I think he was an Austro-American. Austro, is that the right word? Anyway, yes, Philip Kuntz, 1974, did a very interesting experiment where he chose at random 600 people from the phone book. And people in Ireland especially will be familiar with this, not the randers from the phone book. Stop it now. Pull yourself together, man.
No, I can't do that either.
And he sent 600 handwritten Christmas cards with a photo of his family, addressed to these people that he did not know, and he got 200, he went in advance of Christmas, say 3 weeks before, got 200 cards back from randomers.
Right.
Now you would think, why would strangers send a card back? Because they obviously got it and went, "Who knows the Kuntzes? Anyone know the Kuntzes?" They presume somebody did, but the point is, they got a beautiful handwritten card, so they wrote one back. Right. So he proved that people do feel an obligation to do something back for you. But anyway, that's all very academic.
Yes.
And in real terms, we just know it as returning the favour.
So give us a. You always ask this on Twitter, like, "Well, what do you think I should say?" And they'd say, "Well, here's my story."
We get
so give us some examples.
Well, the basic ones is most people when they get to a certain age.
There's a lot
have
of Kuntzes on Twitter now. I would have thought.
Well, people when they get to a certain age, you might have kids, you've settled down, you get into a social routine, if you like. So I ask you to dinner, you ask me back for dinner, and it's cyclical.
It is cyclical,
cyclical.
Right.
And because you're happy to do that, because you're my friend, I'm your friend, you say, like, once every few weeks, we're going to do that every few months.
Yeah.
But what happens when someone invites you for dinner first, and you go to their house, and you just have a really bad time, and you think, it might be a colleague in work, might be a new neighbour's the worst, because you got to live beside these people.
Yeah.
And you leave thinking, that really wasn't how I would choose to spend a few hours of my life. But then you see them, they're waving over the wall, you might see them in work and they say, "Hey, thanks for coming for that dinner and thanks for that." You go, I must return the favour. But you don't want to return the favour.
Well, the question is, must you return the favour?
That's
what we're asking.
Because the thing is, in real life, friends choose to... And the thing is, returning the favour, or these, as the sociologists call them, rules of reciprocity, work because in real life, if I help you, I would hope you would help me one day. And it is... it's something that you would that makes the world keep turning. But in social terms, it's very different to that.
Yeah.
Other example, a big one we got was the colleague who always says, "I'll get the next one." And it might be a sandwich at lunch, it might be the coffees, it might be a pint on a Friday, and they say, oh yeah, listen, I'll get you next time, or I'll return the favour, and they don't return the favour. And one guy tweeted me and said, or emailed me rather, and said, there is this guy, and he is a friend of mine, and we both work in Dublin, we meet for lunch once every 6 weeks. I earn more money than him. It's kind of unspoken. He knows that, I know that. The bill comes, he sits back and he goes, ah, thanks, bud. And he said, I like his company, but now it started from the second the sandwich is put down the table. I'm thinking, I know I'm getting this. And I just think, will he reach for the saucer? Will he even try?
What did you think of Kelly?
He said it's completely undermined the friendship. He said, now I'm counting the days down to see him, thinking, that Philip.
That guy.
He's not going to get this. He said it's starting to ruin the friendship.
He's definitely one of the Coonses.
He's a member.
What about the guy
of
the broader Coons family? What about what about Kelly Brook buying her own engagement
ring?
True? That's
is
what they're
that
saying.
True?
They're saying that she earns more money. There's an awful bang of want off her, despite the fact that she's one of the most beautiful. Well, she's incredibly.
She's one of those. Remember, my husband was
she's
making
nice woman,
was, my
is
husband
she?
Was doing a program called Ideal on BBC Three, which is now over. They wanted to get there was a dream sequence where he woke up in bed with Fantasy Woman, and I think they did a straw poll, and she came out on top, for want of a better term. And
I'd
I was delighted
always comes
the,
out
the
on
idea
top.
Of this scene would happen.
Yes,
they didn't get her in the end, but the point is, she is that.
She's a lad's.
She's that nuts
fantasy.
Magazine.
Yeah, she'd be that because she's got massive boobs, I see.
She has a fine bosom.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's always a bit like
myself.
Hair of you in it, excuse the expression. But she always has a. She seems unlucky in love and she's constantly kind of half in and out of engagements and now she's going
to
have some gladiator.
Try a bit too hard. It's a terribly unsisterly
well,
thing
buying
to
your,
say.
Buying your own engagement ring is
but
trying
that
hard.
That fella she's with as well. Some I mean, did you see him riding around LA on the bike? He looked like a bull. You know those ads for Red Bull or. The Laughing Cow Cheese, where someone is totally top-heavy and wobbling along on tiny legs. Yeah. I don't trust a man who wobbles along on tiny legs.
No.
See stilt walkers.
Where is he?
Oh, no, he's going to fall
I want him to give you a piggyback.
No.
It's funny, look at the coffee shop. We're not allowed to mention that rhymes with Flarflux. Look at this. There's four women there sitting there having a coffee. And one fella. I'd love to know, why is he there?
I hope the radio is not on in that.
No, it's not, of course.
It's probably
playing some digital station.
And you're right, the top window.
The grassy knoll, the depository.
There's a bang of grassy knoll off that.
Okay, so you see there's four girls and they're always having their kind of morning coffee thing, which is grand. They're lucky, the ladies who coffee. But there's a guy in the middle of it. Why is he there? The guy with the brown jumper.
Man crush, maybe?
Can you find out before
is
the show
he,
ends?
I think I'm, yeah, well.
Because he's definitely
he's
like
a
stick
man.
In the ointment.
He's,
because
he's a boy.
He's not a boy.
He's a boy.
He's a
the
dad.
He's the reverse of, you know, 1661, where a woman looks 16 from the back, 16
look,
from the front.
He's
the guy with the glasses.
Yes.
Oh, my apologies.
He's a geeky dad.
He's a grown man.
Yeah. We're going to take a break back in a moment. The Lorgan Village Shopping Centre, and we're here till 11 o'clock, which means 56 minutes left of this glorious broadcast brought to you here by Kellogg's this morning.
Yum.
Maya Dunphy joining me here in our mobile home.
That coffee shop we can't name has just given me a complimentary small cup of
caramel
calorific.
Cream.
Caramel delight.
Yeah, I can see it already. You've just put it on around the belly.
Yeah, go straight to the belly.
51552. Oh my
delicious
God, you're taking me back to the 90s now. Rimmel, Heather, Shimmer, Lippy as well. That's on the G1. That's what the mall rats. My wife Marina is on her way up to the shopping centre now with her daughter Eva, 19 months old, to get her new colouring book and crayons.
Ah.
Keep it simple. She's also getting Emma, her other daughter, 5 months. Whew, you're busy house. Her first solid food. She'd love
very advanced children, very advanced.
She would love and hate nothing more than you for you to stop and talk to her. Eva has pigtails. She will be on reins. Get in here. More child. And they're both gorgeous, so you shouldn't miss them. From Colin. How romantic.
That's very sweet.
So we must look
out
for a child.
You're assuming that that's her husband.
Well, it's hardly your
fella. If it's a randomer, then it's not so romantic. It's quite creepy.
We did have a shopping centre to loiter in back in my days, says Mrs. Claff, our old friend. So old in figurative sense. So we did what was affectionately known as the laps of the town for hours. And it basically involved walking past Supermax numerous times to see if we could spot any of the fellas we fancied. Great days.
We used to get our Christmas turkeys here in Stillorgan.
Felons.
Yeah.
Felons butchers.
The ham and the turkey.
They're family butchers for years.
Delighted.
Yeah, same with our family, funny enough. Can you please say hello to Trevor Jackman, working in C&D Shoes. They're nuclear. He has been working there since 1966. They think it's all over. It is now. Congratulations, Trevor Jackman, who was brilliant in Les Mis.
He was. Big fan.
I would have called into Stillorgan.
A.K.A. Wolverine.
How do you know him in C&D? Oh, he's got massive sideburns and 10 teeth that look, and he goes crazy in a full moon.
Three eyes.
How much are those shoes? Woo! They're very expensive. Okay. I would have called into Stillorgan to see you, says Mary O'Riordan, building up, managing our expectations. But I have to bring 6th class Mount Anvil Primary School to Dorky on a school tour.
School tour of Dorky?
Yeah, they're doing a tenement project. So, to say hello to them all.
Aspirational school tour.
They're in the car with me now.
I have to bring
6th class.
How big is the car?
It must be a small school.
That's a very exclusive trip.
Is it a big car or are the kids really, really tiny?
We need more information.
Everything okay there in the back?
Yes.
Everyone happy?
Yes, please.
I learned a trick last week.
Yeah.
Which is kind of making sound like somebody's stuck in my mouth. But I don't know if it'll work on radio.
Oh, this is like the Rob Brydon thing.
It's not that good. That's a little person in a box. Yeah. Will I try and do it?
Oh, yeah.
You have to kind of blow out as well. Hang on, let me see if I can do it.
Why are they panicking?
Oh, no, is it the still worker? Has he fallen? He's taken someone out.
No, he's not.
Oh, no, he hasn't. Whew.
I thought somebody from the book depository might have shot him. He's okay. The trajectory doesn't work that way.
Well, if he gets him in the leg, they'd be fine.
He's still alive. No, he does a good pretendy folly, though.
Actually, do you know Angela and Hugh, whose anniversary it was?
Yeah, happy anniversary.
I told Angela about the return of the favour. She went, well, I've got a story for you.
Go on.
A friend of her son's. Both of the couple who both worked needed their house painted, so asked all their friends and family and neighbours to come over for a painting party. And she said, does that count? And I went, yeah, that's a pretty big favour. What did they get in return? She went, well, they bought some wine and a few nibbles, but yeah.
And a big bowl and some car keys. Yeah. Two friends of mine invited me, says Jenny, over to their house on separate occasions for wine and munchies. I did enjoy it, but I didn't want to have them over because my house is a tip. It's clean, but it's outdated. And I'm fine with its decor, but I think they'd be looking out of the corner of their eyes, judging.
Well, there's a lot in that.
Isn't there?
There's a lot in that.
There's no self-confidence.
Don't be ridiculous. If you want to ask people back, I mean, I love cooking. My friend asked me back for dinner and she bought one of those fajita dinner kits. But it was lovely. I didn't expect you to cook a gourmet meal. Yeah, well, point is, we went back, we had fun, we had chats, and we rolled up our own fajitas.
I couldn't agree with you.
That's what dinner kits were invented for.
Yeah, precise.
There's another one I got, which is slightly different, but lending money. And this used to happen to me as well with somebody who would say, do us a favour, lend me a fiver. And a fiver, it's not that much, you're going to ask for it back the next day. But if they repeatedly ask you for fivers...
I would never borrow money from you.
Because
I couldn't handle the pain.
Oh,
the
you mean
pressure.
From me specifically?
Yeah. Do you know the Twilight Zone?
I wouldn't lend you money.
You know the Twilight Zone episode where William Shatner is on the plane, right? And then there's this thing that comes in the window. I'd imagine that I'd be sitting there having borrowed a fiver from you and I'd be watching TV at home and your face would appear at my...
Tell you what, here's 50 cent. Go buy yourself some manners.
I don't like big rappers in my studio. The reciprocal school play dates are a pain in the arse. Text 51552.
Oh, play dates.
That's reciprocal. You've had me over. I have to have you over.
But that's another one I got in. And again, it's the parenting issue. The school run. One woman tweeted me and she said, I don't work. My neighbour does work. So the first morning of term last year, I said to her, let me bring your kids to school. She went, that'll be brilliant. She said, it now happens that I bring them to school every single day.
Oh, yeah.
And the attitude is, you don't work, I do. So you do the school. She said, I get nothing in return. Her kids turn at my doorstep every single morning with not even a thank you.
Not even there. Fergal and Tipperary says, a great topic. As someone in business, we've been long-term advocates of reciprocity. It is very important. It
Great
means
word.
A lot. Not always possible to do, he says, but always possible to try. So we think of our customers and ask if we can reciprocate business to and with them. This can work well with the shop local.
Now that is different again because sales and marketing people and business people have always used this rule. It's you know when you go into a supermarket and there is a tasting stand / booth and they say, would you like to taste this sausage / yogurt / sausage yogurt or whatever it might be. Chances are you probably don't want that sausage yogurt, but you might just taste... There's an idea, write that down. You might taste one, then you do feel obliged to buy it. And the lovely-faced, smiley man or woman saying, it's all natural, it's all local Irish produce, and they're smiling and being, and we're doing 50 cent off a pack today. And you do feel like you now deserve... You're obligated to do something back, i.e. buy the product. Same with you going to a phone shop where you go to buy a telly and they say, look, I shouldn't do this. It's a Del Boy. Rule to say, you know what, it's 59.99, but I'll give it to you for 50 and I'll throw in a free case. And you feel like they're doing you a favour. That is just clever business. So that guy, I agree with it, but it's different to social norms. That's business.
Yeah, that is different.
And very, very clever.
I just saw a girl I went to college
still
with.
Walker is looking at me. He's looking into my soul.
He's looking into your soul.
He's looking into my soul.
Have we got pictures up on our Facebook page? He's freaking the shippy japers out of you. That's great. Keep it going. Do a bit of that. Eyeball her. Yeah, yeah.
No,
round. Go round.
Oh, no.
Go round.
Whoa.
Jump on top of her.
And the thing is, he makes the righty packs look even smaller.
He's coming in.
No, he can't come in.
He is. He can't completely.
His knee won't bend.
He'll never get in, though, will he? How will he get in?
No, God. Can this thing move? Can we drive? Just drive, for God's sake, drive.
Donnie, get out of here. I just saw a girl I was in college with who looks amazing.
Really?
That's great. Adele Buckley.
Is that the lady on the Zimmer frame over there?
That lady, that's her. Oh. No, she's there. She must have kids. No, she looks. Look at the door banging. And
no, he got in! He actually got in!
How did he get in?
How did he get into the van?
And he's carving, he's clawing the window. Can you come through the door?
Let the right one in.
Okay, get him in.
No, do not. Oh,
do
no,
open.
Please.
Open the door, Grace.
Please,
let him
don't.
In.
I might have an accident. Oh, how can he get into such a small space?
Shake his hand. Hold his hand.
It's the fake knee. Look at the fake knee.
Thank you very much, Stilt Walker. You are very agile, I have to say. Look, he wants to shake your hand
you
again.
Are. I just like
shake your hand. Hold his hand. There you go. What's your name, by the way?
Michaela. Yes.
Welcome to our world.
Thank you very much.
And thank you.
What a comfortable world you have.
Isn't it pleasant?
It's very snug and very echo.
Do you ever put shoes on your fake feet?
They're not fake feet, they're my real
legs.
Metal hooves.
Metal hooves. Maya, have a great weekend.
That is the meanest thing you've ever done to me.
Bye, Maya.
Bye, Michaela.
Look, you can see his bum.
That is truly terrifying.
So that was a little treat for you. It's 12 minutes past 10. We're live.
Where's
from
the nearest bathroom?
I think you may just need it. Maya Dunphy, as always, a pleasure. We'll see you next week.
Bye.